For donation after worship. Christmas decorating will be on Saturday here at the church, 9 o'clock. And believe it or not, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent already. Today's the deadline for poinsettia orders. And just a reminder that our Bible study again is totally online this week again on Monday evening, 7 o'clock. Hope you all have a blessed Thanksgiving this week. Let's come into a time of worship and giving thanks as Barb leads us.
For the call to worship, please join in the responsive reading. Come, let us give thanks and praise to God who has so richly blessed us.
Let us celebrate in the many ways in which God has touched our lives.
Praise be to the Lord of harvest and hope, the God of joy and salvation. Going to sing it. Bow your heads in prayer. thank you for your promise of where two or three are gathered. You are right there with us. Lord, we welcome you amongst us today as we celebrate the gift of Thanksgiving. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word, guidance, and love so that we continue to be grateful, not just at harvest time, but daily as we go through our life experiences. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to sing now that Come Ye Thankful People Come. Scripture, I will read from Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength, you establish the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon trains overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow the hills, gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy.
Son whose name is William. Very good. Kind of turn around this way so you can see me, okay? Yeah, so I can reach you too if people want to hear you talk here a little bit. Good morning, Isaiah and Abby and everybody. Yes. So I have this box that I keep in a desk drawer, and some of you can tell, if you read, you can tell everybody what it says on that card there. What's that say? Thank you. Yeah. It's a thank you card. When people might send me something or tell me something, send me a nice card, or they give me a gift or something like that, I might send them a thank you card to let them know how much I appreciated everything that they had given me or said to me, or, you know, a thoughtful card or something of that sort. And so I send them a thank you card. Obviously, I think all of you probably know we have a special holiday coming up this week, don't we? What is it?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yes. It is Thanksgiving. And maybe some of you are going to have a special kind of meal on Thanksgiving. You're going to sit down to, how many are going to have turkey? Okay. Some are going to have something else, maybe. Okay, some people have ham on Thanksgiving. What do you have on Thanksgiving?
We might be getting duck on Thanksgiving.
You might be getting duck on Thanksgiving. Wow. Okay. That sounds good. Okay. Yes. So maybe somebody's going to have one of the, what do they call them, turduckens or something like that, too. Yeah. Well, Thanksgiving is a special day. Oftentimes, you know, usually we will get together with family. Some people might not be doing that this year because of the COVID thing. You know, my family's not doing that, but we're going to get together on Zoom or somehow electronically. But we're still going to have our turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes. And we have a special thing that my wife's family introduced us to. Part of Thanksgiving dinner is always rutabagas. Anybody know what a rutabaga is? Nope, never heard of it before. Well, it's a yellow turnip, or sometimes they're called Canadian turnips, okay? They're really good. Anyhow, Thanksgiving is a day when we give special thanks to God for everything that he's done to us, for us, okay? And I want to share just a scripture, a verse. This is a verse that actually Katrina is going to read in just a moment when she reads the whole scripture. But it says in Deuteronomy 8:12, when you have eaten your fill, when you've eaten your fill, do not forget the Lord your God. So this Thursday, when you've eaten your fill, whether it's duck or turkey or ham or whatever, when you've eaten your fill, don't forget to give thanks to God. So many of you will probably say grace before your meal, but the scripture says when you've eaten your fill, even after you've eaten, give thanks to God because of all the good things that he's done for us, even in this year when things have been kind of strange sometimes. Let's say a prayer together, okay? God, thank you for these children, and just pray that you'll give them a very special blessing this week. And as they give thanks to you, will you be present with them and their families as they remember all the blessings that they've had this year. We just thank you in Jesus' name for them and for your many blessings. Amen. Okay, you can go to Children's Church if you'd like.
I'd like to thank Charlotte for playing the piano. That was very nice. And also thank you to Pastor Dennis for the children's message. Join me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and blessings over us. Thank you that you were able to bring hope through us, even in the toughest times, strengthening us for your purposes. Thank you for your love and care. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for giving us the knowledge to plant our fields and reap the bounty of those fields by feeding many people around us. Thank you that you are always with us and will never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we might have freedom and life. Forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, for that you've given. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirits. Fill us with your peace and joy. We love you and we need you this and every day. We give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, 11 to 18. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built the house, the fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end, to do you good. Do not say to yourself, "My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth." But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. And now the message will be given by Pastor Dennis.
Now, one of the disappointments of being a grandparent during these days of a global pandemic is that since our son Andy and our daughter-in-law and grandchildren live in the Netherlands, Kathy and I don't get to watch the grandchildren grow. and we haven't had the opportunity to enjoy them. We see them at least every other week on Skype, but it's just not the same. It's been since August of 2019 that we've actually seen them in person. Well, and our oldest son, Andy, the one in the Netherlands, turned 40 this year, which is, for us at least, pretty unbelievable. As my mother used to say, imagine how that makes me feel when I tell her how old I've become. Yeah. Well, as a parent, you watch your children grow. But the day-to-day obligations and the challenges of parenting often blind us to some of the miracle that's taking place in front of us. And all of a sudden, they've grown. And we wonder what happened. You know, as parents, we want our kids to grow and become independent, responsible adults. We want them to learn right from wrong, what is harmful and what is not. We want them to get to a point where they can function on their own out there in the real world. We want to see them achieve some measure of success and happiness. But in all honesty, there's a part of us that wants to hold on just a little. We want our kids to make their own some of the values we've tried to pass on to them. We want them to remember where they've come from. We don't want them to forget us and the lessons that we taught them. And that's pretty much what Moses is expressing in this text read from Deuteronomy. He's telling the Israelites that God wants to see his children grow up and become the people that God wants them to be. God, and Moses also, doesn't want them to forget who they are and whose they are. The Israelites wandered homeless in the desert for 40 years, and during that time, God had taken care of all of their needs. God rescued them from slavery and from the armies of Pharaoh. God's cloud and pillar of fire guided them through the wilderness, and God's manna fed them daily. God had provided water from a rock. But now they were growing up, and they were about to enter the land which God was giving them. They were going to be able to build their own homes. They were going to be able to have herds and flocks and plant crops for food. The land they were about to enter had wells and streams for water. But going into the land God promised them, they now would face a new danger. A danger Moses was warning them about here in Deuteronomy 8. When they settled in this land that God was giving them, further removed by a generation and in time from the realities of Egyptian slavery and the experience of God's provision during those 40 years in the wilderness, they might forget. The more self-sufficient they would become, the more they might forget. The danger was that their memories would fade over time, and they might begin to think it was their own efforts that defeated Pharaoh, their own armies who took down the walls of Jericho and conquered the land, that they had somehow earned the right to the land. It was to this kind of dangerous self-sufficiency and self-centeredness that these words of Deuteronomy are addressed. You know, that is why so frequently in the Old Testament we find the story of what God had done for the Israelites being recited over and over again. It was to remind the people that it was God who had done these things and not by their own efforts. The children of Israel owed their existence as a people not to their own power or skill or righteousness, but only to the grace and power of God working in the lives of these least likely of people. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors. The truth that Deuteronomy communicates for us, as well as for those children of Israel, is that what we have, who we are, all that exists is not by our power or strength, but by the grace and the power of God. In this land of plenty and abundance, One of the greatest dangers we face is that we are tempted to forget the one who is our provider, the one who is our father, the one who is our strength. So Moses warns the Israelites, and Moses warns us, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Moses' warning to the Israelites shouts out to us today also, do not forget the Lord your God. You know, I think we're living in a time when people find it increasingly difficult to be awed or astonished or amazed by much of anything. Maybe it's because of technology. We've become such a visual culture. We have these cell phones with cameras on them that can capture anything at any moment and then immediately send it around the world. Maybe it's because human behavior has so shocked us that we have no more capacity for astonishment. Maybe it's because we're too wrapped up in our own lives. In those words that Katrina read from the Psalm 65, the writer calls us to once more open our eyes to God's awe-inspiring works. He says, you, God, care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide people with grain, for you have so ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty. Your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks. The valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. So the question this morning I'm going to ask is this. Have we gotten to the place that we've lost a sense of wonder regarding the works of God? You know, the witness of Scripture is that the work of God is something astonishing, something that should create in us a sense of awe and wonder, something that should provoke in us some fear and trembling. Have we come to the place where we take things of God for granted? Are we guilty of our hearts becoming proud and forgetting what the Lord our God has done and is doing for us? You know, not unlike those Israelites, we want some control over our lives. As they moved into the promised land, the Israelites eventually turned to the gods of the people of the land, the pagan people of the land, those the Baals, as the Bible speaks of them, the Baal of the weather, the Baal of crops, the Baal of flocks, the Baal of family. Every aspect of life came under the control of some man-made deity, which in a very real sense was just a way for people to feel that they were in control of their lives. Are we any different? We might not call them Baals or gods, but there are things that give us the illusion that we're in control of every aspect of our lives. The God of money, the God of material possessions, the God of time, the God of comfort, the God of power, the God of self-interest. Now, these words of Moses in Deuteronomy 8 are spoken as much to us today as they were to the Israelites. And maybe we've lost that sense of wonder and have forgotten God from whom all our blessings flow. So Thursday, when you sit down to a Thanksgiving meal, remember these words of Scripture. When you've eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land, the good things that he has given you. We need to heed Moses' warning. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. He's the one who gives you the power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he affirmed with your ancestors. Remember the Lord your God. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we have very short memories. That's why God gave the Israelites different ways to help them to remember. Joshua 4 is the account of the Israelites being led by Joshua into the promised land, and God once again divided the waters, this time of the Jordan River, and the people passed through on dry ground. And God told Joshua to have 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, to take a stone from the river. The stones were to be used to create a memorial. And Joshua said to the people, each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. You know, there's a phrase in that second verse of that familiar hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, where it says, here I raise my Ebenezer. When you've sung that hymn, maybe you've wondered, well, what is an Ebenezer? And in 1 Samuel 7 is the account of the Israelites' victory over the Philistines. And verse 12 says, Samuel then took a large stone. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. The stone, the Ebenezer, stood as a reminder of the Lord's help. And in the law that was given by God through Moses, the people are instructed to add certain items to their clothing or their homes to help them remember. They were instructed to talk about God's commands and the history of the people to teach God's law to their children. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you are going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Sometimes they were instructed to prepare and eat a special meal, such as the Passover, which served as a time to remember God's presence in the events of the Exodus. As brethren Christians, when we participate in the love feast and share the bread and cup of communion, we recall Jesus' command to do this in remembrance of me. We take the bread and the cup to remember what Christ has done for us. God knows our human tendency to forget and our tendency towards self-sufficiency. So God tells us to intentionally do some things to remember. What is it that God wants us to remember? I think, first of all, how God has blessed us. How what we have is not by our own power or our own doing, but through God's mercy and grace. We're blessed. Blessed to live where we live. Blessed to have more than what we need so that we can have abundance to share with others. Blessed to know God's forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ. We need to remember how blessed we are, not just this coming Thursday, but every day. God wants us to remember the lessons we've been taught, lessons we've learned through Scripture about living a life that honors God, lessons we've learned from our brothers and sisters in faith about living together in Christian community. Lessons about our mission as followers of Jesus to love our neighbors and to serve others in Christ's name. God wants us to remember the ways in which God has been with us and guided us, how God has walked with us through the shadow of death, how God has walked with us when we were going through some of the challenges that life throws at us, how God has been with us through illness and times of uncertainty, and most especially right now, how God has been with us in a year like 2020. Remember the Lord your God. Well, why does God want us to remember? I think when we take an intentional effort to remember, we're less likely to forget and neglect God's word. We're more likely to get into Scripture, more likely to pray, more likely to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we make an intentional effort to remember, we'll be more thankful. We'll be more aware of God's blessings and how He's still guiding us. More aware of God's presence with us. More aware of giving thanks. When we remember how God has been with us and is blessing us, we'll be less afraid of the future. Knowing God's presence with us in the past and the present, we can be assured of God's presence with us in the future. When we remember God's discipline, we'll be less likely to make the same mistakes we've made in the past. And God wants us to remember so that we can pass on the faith to our children, our grandchildren, and to others who have yet to believe. Well, how do we remember? Well, like I said, God instructed the Israelites to construct monuments of stone so they would remember. God instructed them to adorn their clothing and their homes with reminders of God's power and presence, how He was with them in the past so that they would remember His presence with them in the present and in the future. God commanded them to celebrate feasts like the Passover and others to remember how God had blessed them and led them, and as a means of assuring His continued presence with them. Jesus, as I said, commanded us to take the bread and the cup in remembrance so that we would remember and be assured of His continued presence with us until He comes. How can we remember? Well, I think we need to be both intentional and creative in finding meaningful ways to remember God's blessings, God's ways, and God's presence with us. The most obvious, I think, is to make an intentional effort to get into the Word and engage in spiritual disciplines such as prayer and regular worship. To be part of a small group, make regular worship with the faith community a priority. Set a regular devotional time to be alone with God. Participate in the love feast and times of communion. We can create our own memorials of sorts. You know, a lot of us spend a good bit of time each day on our screens. So you could put a desktop picture on your computer screen that reminds you in some way of God's presence or power every time you bring up your device. Might be a scene from God's creation or a picture, an event or experience where you felt God's presence. Every time you turn on your device, it's there as a reminder. You can make a picture collage of photos that remind you of God's presence and put it in a spot where you'll see it regularly as a reminder. Make a collection of scripture verses that speak to you in some significant way and display them in a place where you'll see them regularly. If you have artistic or musical abilities, use that talent to create something that becomes a meaningful reminder of God's presence and blessings. One way many people find helpful is journaling, writing down your thoughts as you read scripture, or keeping a prayer journal. Use special meals or traditions as reminders of God's presence and blessing. Of course, this Thursday's Thanksgiving meal is a great opportunity. And Thanksgiving might be different for most of us this year, so it might be a good opportunity to create some new ways to remember God's goodness. We humans have a tendency to forget. We tend to take for granted that we will remember. We take for granted that our children will come to know how they've been blessed, but God doesn't take it for granted. God knows us all too well. The Israelites' forgetfulness led to a falling away from their trust in God. The same danger exists for us as well. So don't fall away. Don't forget. You know, remembering isn't difficult. In fact, it's so simple that we forget. This week and always, remember the Lord your God. Be intentional about it, be creative about it, and give thanks. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. We plow the fields and scatter. Good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for all his love and his goodness. Go now with thankful hearts and go in Christ's peace. Amen.